Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring. Fans, to another edition of the 2-Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. My name is Felipe León, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. David Avila. How are you doing, David?
Very good, Felipe. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much. And unfortunately, our third co-host, the heart and soul of the 2-Minute Round, Miss Elena Baby Doll Reed, can't be with us today. She had a little bit of a family business going on. So hopefully we'll have her on our next show, which is scheduled for March 16th. But tonight we have a very special guest calling in about 10 to 15 minutes. It's none other than Showtime Sports President Steven Espinosa, who's going to give us his take, obviously, on female boxing, on women's boxing, and on his network's investment in women's boxing. As we all know, this year, 2017, started with a great fight on that network, on Showtime Extreme, actually, in one of the channels, between Amanda Serrano, the WBO super bantamweight champion, and Mexican veteran Jasmine Rosita Rivas. And then this next Friday night, a week from tomorrow, we have a historic female boxing match on Showtime when, for the first time in the history of the channel, a female fight will be the main event on Showbox when two-time gold medalist Clarissa Shields fights for the vacant NABF title against Silva Sabatos next Friday night, March 10th on Showtime. So with us in about 10 to 15 minutes will be Mr. Steven Espinosa, the president of Showtime Sports. But before we get that call, we're going to get started a little bit here, talk about the fight results in the last couple weeks in the female fight world. Starting off on Friday, February 17th, from the Don Haskins Center in El Paso, Texas, Top Rank on Unimas had a fight card where we saw some good fights. This fight was not televised, but it was part of the card, and obviously it was a very important fight, being that it's in El Paso, Texas, and it is the hometown of IBF featherweight champion Jennifer Hahn, who scored a unanimous decision over Canadian Olivia Guerrula in a 10-rounder. Scores there were a lopsided 100 to 89 three times. Obviously, that 89 shows us that Guerrula touched the canvas. Jennifer Hahn, I think this was either her second or third defense of her title. David, I think it's time for her to take a little bit of a step up, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, she's already in her 30s, and I think it's time to meet one of the other featherweight champions like Jelena Mirjanovic or Amanda Serrano. Definitely. That would be
actually, it would be Cindy. It would be Cindy Serrano.
Oh, Cindy.
Yeah, the sister who is a WBO featherweight champion. And I think that's the fight to make. If you're going to make a fight between Jennifer Hahn, who's experienced, who's been fighting for a long time, she comes from a boxing family. Elena has kind of shared with us that they're kickboxers. Her brother, A.B. Hahn, who was with Top Rank for a while, I think he was a middleweight, super middleweight. He had a pretty good career. I think they have a younger sister, too, who's starting off as well. I think she's an amateur. So they're experienced fighters. Jennifer Hahn is an experienced fighter. She's been around the way for a little bit. And I think the fight against Amanda Serrano will be the way – I mean, I'm sorry, Cindy Serrano will be the way to go, because Jelena, she might be a little bit too much at this point.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting matchup. I mean, Jennifer absolutely has enough experience. And she has enough skill. It's just a matter of just stepping up.
Mm-hmm. The next night, on Saturday, February 18th, from the Carnivore Grounds in Nairobi, Kenya, Fatuma Zarika, the WBC super bantamweight champion, scored a first-round knockout in an eight-round scheduled fight at 126 pounds against a late sub Flora Machella. This opponent was not the one originally announced, but it got changed last minute. And, you know, as that goes, she scored a first-round knockout. Zarika is the one that beat some months ago longtime reigning Alicia Ashley for that WBC super bantamweight title in Flint, Michigan. So she's a champ. She's out there in Kenya. So it might be a little bit tough to get her over here in the States unless they offer a pretty good chunk of change. So while she waits for her next big fight and her next title fight, she is, you know, doing some non-title fights out there in Africa. On the same night, on Saturday, February 18th, way closer to home in Guaymas, Sonora, Mexico, at the Gimnasio Municipal, it was broadcast on the Azteca channel. Zulema Urbina, a Mexican amateur stand-up, scored a majority decision against Kumora Yang Badillo in a four-rounder in the flyweight division. The scores there were 40-36, 39-37, and an even 38-38. I had the chance to watch this fight, and it was a pretty even fight. I actually, if I had to score and if I had to pick a winner, I wouldn't. I would say it was a draw, and Urbina got a little bit of a criticism from this fight because a lot of people saw the other fighter win. She actually touched the canvas in the first round, but the referee called it a slip. You know, it looked like a slip to me a little bit. You know, the times when you know the punch kind of lands, but then you know they kind of fall as well. So that's what happened. Urbina, you know, she still has – she had a lot of amateur experience. She has an amateur style still, fighting in the pros. So, you know, she has a little bit of work to do there, and she might have gotten a little gift. I could go with the draw. I wouldn't necessarily say she lost the fight. I don't think the Yang Badillo did enough to win the fight, but I don't think Urbina did neither. But on the same what's that?
Was that Yang Badillo's first fight?
No, she was actually 3 wins, 1 loss. So she was a little bit of a, and this was Urbina's third fight as a pro. So it was a little bit of an even match there. But Urbina does have more of an amateur experience, although Yang Badillo did have some experience as well. But Urbina would be considered the more experienced of the two. But she had a little bit of a tough time. Now, one thing that was talked about this fight is that Urbina is from nearby Hermosillo. And it was the first time that she was fighting near her home as a pro. So I don't know if that had something to do with it a little bit. You know, a little bit of a hometown jitters and things like that. So hopefully she comes back stronger in her next fight. But on the same card, a little bit of a upset happened when former interim WBA flyweight champion Jocelyn Arroyo was surprised by unanimous decision, lost by Jasmine Gonzalez in a 6th rounder at flyweight. Scores there were 58-55 two times and 57-56. Arroyo, a tall, lanky fighter, very good-looking woman from Guadalajara, Mexico. She had not fought in about a year and a half, comes back in her first fight. She's promoted by Sanford, one of the Sanford is starting to sign more female fighters, but for a long time they only had a handful, and she was one of that handful. They got her right from the beginning of her career, and she ended up suffering her first loss as a professional via unanimous decision over virtually unknown Jasmine Gonzalez in a 6th rounder at super flyweight. So I don't know, man. I don't know if she's gonna come back because she had been gone for a while. She comes back and suffers her first loss, so I don't know if she still has the same love for the sport as she did. And finally, on Friday, February 24th, we had the new date from the Spectrum in Oslo, Norway, the number one considered pound-for-pound female fighter in the world, Cecilia Breakhouse, did easy work of Clara Svensson, winning a lopsided unanimous decision in a 10-rounder, defending her WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO, and IBO world titles. Scores there were 100, 90 and 99, 91 two times. Shortly thereafter, after Brake has won the fight, I think like a day later, she announced her next fight against current WBC 140-pound champ Erika La Pantera Farias from Argentina for June 6th in Norway. So, David, your thoughts on the Svensson fight and your thoughts on this fight against Farias?
Well, the Svensson fight, I was a little disappointed. I expected it to go the distance, but I also expected Svensson to do a little bit more. She seemed to tire about the fourth round, and then after that, Cecilia just took over. She had the straighter punches. Svensson, for a boxer, threw a lot of looping shots. None of her punches were straight. And in the end, Brakus was just the calm, determined champion, and she looked very good, very strong in defeating Svensson convincingly, in my eyes. And the fact that she announced the fight against Farias 2 days later leads me to think that she already knew she was going to fight Farias next. And it's an interesting fight. Farias is at 140. She is a strong fighter. She hasn't looked particularly good in her last two fights, but she is one of the top female fighters in all the world at the 140 weight.
Yeah, we're going to see how big of a difference going up to a welterweight is going to be. But like promised, with us already calling in a little bit early, but we appreciate it, and we will have a short time with him. But with this is none other than the president of Showtime Sports, Mr. Steven Espinosa. Let me patch him in. Mr. Espinosa, is that you? Hello, Mr. Espinosa? Hello?
Oh, no, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Did you have any questions?
No, I don't.
All right. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Oh, I know who that was. That was David Duenas from Living in the Ring. I don't know why I don't know why he's listening there and not on the website. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Like we were saying, Farias, the WBC 140-pound champ, going over to Norway and challenging Breakouts. We're gonna see how well she does going up the weight. You know, Breakouts. Do you think, David, is she a big welterweight? Do you think she struggles a lot to make the welterweight limit?
There was rumors that she was struggling, but she seems to be able to make that weight. I mean, she's fighting at a lower weight herself. I think she could move up easily, that's for sure. But I think she can make the welterweight limit. I don't think it's a problem.
Now, you think that's a good move for her to perhaps bring up these 140-pound fighters and fight them at welterweight and keep winning and winning? Obviously, she is a brand name in Norway, and the fact that you know, she brought back boxing in that country after it was banned for a long time. You know, it looks like that she is, you know, drawing a lot. I'm sure she has a TV contract, so money is not going to be an issue. So you think that's a good move for her to entice these 140-pound fighters to come up and face her at welterweight? I mean, she could fight Farias, who she's doing on June 9th. I'm sure she offered a fight to La Locomotora. She would move up and fight her. She's a big woman as well, and she's a strong, hard puncher. I'm sure that if she would offer the money to La Tigresa Acuña, she would move up. You know, do you think that's a better move for her than to actually move up to 154 pounds and look for somebody there, which really there really isn't a lot of names at 154, unless maybe she goes up and challenges the Michaela Loren in that weight class?
Very true. She could do that if she wanted to. But that, I mean, why Michaela Lauren, who was defeated pretty easily by Clara Svensson. It just doesn't make sense to fight her. I mean, the other people she can fight is obviously Layla McCarter, who's been calling her out, who I just saw on Friday, and who was flabbergasted that she isn't given the opportunity, though she is ranked number one. I don't know. Maybe it's a strategic move by Cecilia Breakhouse's people. That's the only thing I can assume. But she is 35 years old. There's not a whole lot of time for her career. Maybe she's trying to get as much money or as much adulation in her own country before she takes on somebody like Layla, who's about 37 years old.
Okay, well, now it does seem that we have on the line our special guest, the man that we've been waiting for, the president of Showtime Sports, Mr. Steven Espinosa.
Mr. Hey, Espinosa, guys, how are you?
Good, thank you, sir. My name is Felipe Leon here from Zooming Around on the Leave It in the Ring Network, and with me is my co-host, David Avila, who I'm going to pass the baton to, and he'll get started. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for giving us your time all the way from New York City.
Yeah, happy to do it, guys. Appreciate the support.
Hey, great. Well, how you doing, Mr. Espinosa?
Things are great. You know, things are great. We came off of, saw you at the Showbox last week in Temecula. Had some interesting fights there, and we're hoping we get some good action, Saturday night here at Barclays Center with our big fight on CBS.
Okay, for those listeners who are not aware of Mr. Espinosa, he's a former graduate of UCLA Law School, which is my alma mater, although I didn't go to law school, and he's represented many popular clients in the past as an attorney, and he's currently the executive vice president of Showtime's sports programming, which includes boxing. Mr. Espinosa, what was a significant moment that inspired you to include women on the boxing programming?
Well, it's a couple things. You know, one of the clients that I represented back when I was an attorney, and really before I had any idea about ever working at Showtime, was probably the first, well-known, nationally known female MMA fighter, Gina Carano. And, she was the first woman to appear in a main event of a MMA fight on national television. And really paved the way. And this is, this is obviously way back, five, six, 7 years ago. Going forward, in a certain way, through Gina's fights and then really where Ronda Rousey picked up, it's been real clear through the success of women in MMA that the market is ready, the audience is ready for women in combat sports. And then with the more success, and once you saw Ronda Rousey and then Holly Holm and Miesha Tate and, really a whole group of women MMA fighters, to me it became more and more glaring that there was this, this real, just big hole in the sport of women's boxing, at least in the U.S. Outside the U.S., as you guys know, women's boxing is thriving in Latin America, in Mexico, in Europe. It's doing really well, and there's a lot of it on television. So between those two things, if you look at the recent success of women's boxing in Latin America and in Europe, as well as in really the worldwide success of women in MMA, it just became real obvious we're missing the boat with respect to women in boxing.
And for our listeners, last month they had Amanda Serrano appear on Showtime, and it was the first time a woman's bout had been televised in many, many years. And how did you go about choosing the female boxer for the debut appearance?
Well, I wanted to, and I think I've spoken to you, David, before about it. It's been on our to-do list for a while, and I'm a little embarrassed that we didn't get to it sooner. We knew that the first time we did it, especially, there'd be a lot of scrutiny, a lot of people looking. Some people, paying attention because they supported other people's other people looking at it because they were looking to criticize and poke holes in it. So we wanted, you know, a fight that was really, really credible, and really a top pound-for-pound boxer. And, you know, Lou DiBella has been a, you know, a real advocate for women's boxing. He had been talking to me about Amanda for, you know, for a long time. And in a couple of our Barclays Center shows in Brooklyn, I had seen her off TV. And once she won her world title and became, you know, the, you know, one of only two Puerto Rican world champions and really recognized as one of the top pound-for-pound female fighters in the world, it sort of clicked and said, look, this is, you know, she's the one. She's got a big fan base in Brooklyn. She's a top pound-for-pound fighter. She's got a real action-oriented style. It became clear to us that she was the one that, you know, I think we wanted to put out there as the first one to do it in over a decade. And, you know, and we're proud of that. And we'd like to have Amanda back. She's an action fighter. You know, she's never in a dull fight. You know, and she's, you know, a four-division world champion at this point.
And next week you have Clarissa Shields and a fight set for Detroit. What are your plans for her going forward?
You know, this is it's a little bit of a different endeavor with Clarissa. You know, she is obviously just in the very early stages in her career. You know, at 1-0, I can't remember very many fighters, if any. In the recent past that we've put on at 1-0, and, you know, let alone put on in the headlining fight at 1-0. But the fact that, you know, she is headlining Showbox, it is the first woman, or she is the first woman to headline a boxing card on premium TV, and she's doing it at 1-0 just kind of shows what a special fighter she is. You know, obviously, 1-0 doesn't tell the entire story of her career. You know, when you have two gold medals under your belt, you've obviously done a lot of amateur boxing. And with, you know, the sort of momentum that she has and the fact that she's taking on, you know, credible fighters, fighters with 20, 25 fights are the kinds of opponents that we've been looking at for. So it just seemed like it was right to make a statement that, you know, we're looking at world champions. We're looking at future champions. We're trying to find the real undiscovered talent in women's boxing.
Have you been surprised by the fact that she's willing to take on anybody? It seems like she's challenged everybody from top to bottom in the pound for pound list.
Yeah, I mean the reality, you know, she's talking about, you know, wanting to fight Christina Hammer before the end of the year. And, you know, and Christina Hammer is a world champion and a well-established world champion, a really skilled boxer. You know, and for someone to say, I'm 1-0 and I want to fight, you know, the world champion in the division after, you know, when I'm maybe 3-0, says a lot about where she is. You know, the opponents that we were looking for, we were looking at opponents that were, you know, 14-0, 15-2, like, you know, women who had been boxing for quite a long time in the pro ranks, and she had no hesitation. But if you talk to her trainers, you talk to anybody in the Detroit or Flint area in the gyms, because they all know her in the gyms, guys, you know, women, it really doesn't matter. You know, the way she fights, she spars with a lot of the guys and fits right in. She is a skilled, tough fighter, and, you know, she can move very, very quickly.
And finally for me, what's the long-range goal for female boxing with Showtime? And also, will it include the West Coast and international fighters?
Well, you know, the long range goal really is to really get to the point where it's not anything special. And what I mean is that, you know, it becomes part of the norm, because that's the way it really should be. You know, when you see women on an MMA card, it's not particularly strange to see them headlining. It's not strange to see them, you know, in co-features. It's part of the sport. So I'd really like to get to the point, and I think a lot of the women boxers really would like to get to the point where it's not viewed as, hey, here's something special. There's a women's fight on the card, but just, hey, there's a bunch of good fights on the card, and one of them happens to be a women's fight. And I think, you know, there's a real abundance of talent, you know, West Coast, East Coast, West Coast, international, because really you look at someone like Clarissa and there are others, you know, the reason she has two gold medals is because she obviously didn't turn pro after the first one, because there was really no outlet. What's the point of turning pro if there's no exposure, there's no TV, there's no networks behind it? But once you see, you know, at least one network, and hopefully there are other networks that follow us, I think what you'll see is there's, you know, a lot of women fighters who had no incentive to turn pro, and now will turn pro, and you'll see, you know, a real growth of talent in women's boxing, and I think that can happen pretty quickly.
Mr. Espinosa, we know that you're in New York, and we appreciate your time here with us, so we'll be quick. Do you have another question, David?
No, I was going to leave it to you. Did you have a question you want to ask, Mr.?
Thank you. I got two questions, and then we'll let you go, Mr. Espinosa.
Sure, no problem.
You got a big weekend coming up, and we're looking forward to it as well. My first question is, what would have to happen next Friday as far as ratings and as far as the reception that Showtime is going to get for the main event between Shields and Sabatos for Showtime to perhaps, you know, really plan out a female boxing schedule for 2017?
You know, I think we're pretty much there. I'd be really surprised if this was the only time you saw Clarissa this year with us. I know we're in talks with her and her team, and we'd like to do, several fights in the near future with her. It all depends on opponents. I do think that we're going to see Amanda Serrano, you know, maybe her sister Cindy, who's got a world title as well, and a range of other, you know, female fighters. Layla McCarter, is obviously a name who I know you've been talking about. I've been contacted by, the representatives for Cecilia Brakus, and they're interested in talking about a U.S. Fight for her. So I really think that we will have them sprinkled throughout the schedule. That is our goal, and there's certainly enough talent around to support it.
And my last question, obviously in your previous life, you worked very closely with Golden Boy Promotions, and the fact that they just signed their first pro fighter as well, Marlene Esparza, who's also an Olympian, did that kind of, you know, sway you to consider saying, hey, you know what, maybe it is time, because Golden Boy, who had not signed a female fighter in their whole career, in their whole existence, and now they went ahead and signed one. Did that kind of tell you, you know, it's time to start taking female boxing as far as TV a little bit serious or more?
Yeah, I think it was actually, the reverse. We've been talking about featuring female fighters for a while, and more specifically, really, for the last half of last year. And, you know, seeing the follow through, and when we announced, you know, Amanda would be making her debut, we've also had Katie Taylor on a fight from the UK. I think what you'll see probably, like in the case of Golden Boy, is promoters being more open to signing female fighters because they know networks, or at least one network in Showtime, is open to featuring them. So I think the problem is, and I understand it's a little bit of chicken and the egg, but, you know, it's sort of, you know, how do you develop, you know, women fighters, you know, without having a network behind them? And, you know, the network will say, well, there's no, you know, women fighters who are well-developed and ready for TV. So I think, you know, we made the first step and made the commitment, and we're following through. Like I said, we had Amanda on, we had Katie Taylor on, we've got Clarissa on. You know, Heather Hardy is on the card tomorrow night, although we didn't have room on TV since it's a CBS show. But I think because of that, hopefully, you know, number one, hopefully other networks will also become more open to it. And number two, hopefully that leads promoters to be more open to signing female fighters the way, you know, Golden Boy did with Marlene.
Well, there you have it, folks. Mr. Steven Espinosa here on the 2-Minute Round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world. We want to thank you, Mr. Espinosa, for taking the time from your busy schedule out there in New York. We know you have a huge weekend coming up with Mr. Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia. So from all of us here at Leave It in the Ring Network, we'd like to thank you for your time.
Happy to do it, guys, and let's get together again after Clarissa's fight, and we can talk about how she did.
Great, that'd be awesome.
Great, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you.
And there he was, Mr. Steven Espinosa, the president of Showtime Sports. You know, if to a certain extent this year, David, 2017, as far as the female fight world, the most important network in the United States as far as female boxing and as far as boxing in general, to me, they're number one right now. They're putting on the good fights right now in 2017 as far as their schedule. So there we had the president and the head honcho of that boxing program on the network, Mr. Steven Espinosa. What did you think of his thoughts? I think he was pretty open. I think he sounds like he's somewhat excited about the possibility of bringing something new to their airwaves.
Yes, it's been one of those aspirations and dreams of every female fighter in the United States to be televised. And everybody thought it was a pipe dream. I remember last year when we started this show, we would talk to various female fighters, and they would mention that, well, we've heard all this before, but we haven't seen anything. Nobody's told us anything. Nobody's given us contracts. And then, boom, 2017 came, and there was Showtime to open it up with Amanda Serrano, and now the door is wide open, like you said. And I think it's great. This year is turning out to be a magical year for female boxing.
I'm excited, and hopefully next time we have him on, we have a little bit more time with him, because I had some more questions, but obviously we got to understand he's in New York. We're in the West Coast at 10 o'clock. I'm sure he had a long, long day with that press conference for Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman. But, you know, we'll get ready for next time when we have him on. I'm sure it will be sometime this year. But, yeah, I kind of like the idea, the hope that, you know, Clarissa Shields could be featured again. Amanda Serrano could be featured even in a bigger platform, and hopefully against a more challenging fighter so we can really see what she has. Cindy Serrano against Jennifer Han on Showtime or Showbox would be a great fight. And obviously, you can never forget, you know, just like in male boxing, the female Mexican fighters, Mexican female fighters, you know, they're just like the men. They go, they fight, and they're tough as nails. And, you know, they are used to fighting on TV. They're used to having tough fights. So imagine one of those fighters, Jackie Nava or, you know, Mariana Juarez or Kika Chavez or anybody of that class fighting on Showtime against, you know, with a little bit of a bigger budget, a Tutti Bob, or Jelena Maranovic or anybody. I mean, the sky's the limit of what can be done on Showtime with female boxing.
I see some of the West Coast girls like Melinda Cooper finally being able to showcase what she can do. And I can see somebody like her just taking the TV by storm if given the opportunity. Because she's in that weight class. She's a bantamweight, super bantamweight. And she's one of those girls that will fight anybody. And there's so many more like that. Melissa McMorrow and San Francisco. And, I mean, there's a lot of talent over here. in the West Coast.
Yeah.
A lot of
And
the Mexican girls, like you were saying, so many of them.
Yeah. I mean, Senisa Estrada against Kenyon Enriquez, why not?
Why not? Yeah, that's a great fight.
Maricela Cornejo against Raquel Miller. I'll pay money to see that. You and I get free passes. I'll get my free pass and pay money to see that fight.
Yeah, there's some really good, intriguing matchups that maybe the boxing world doesn't know about, but we do, and that's why we have this show, just to let them know about these matchups that could potentially be bonanzas.
Exactly. Now, getting back to Breakhouse and finishing up that segment of the show, and like Mr. Espinosa mentioned, that, you know, that is somebody that has been contacted. They've been contacted by, I would imagine, Mr. Tom Loeffler, the head honcho of K2 Promotions, who co-promotes Cecilia Breakhouse. And why not? He mentioned them in the same breath, Cecilia Breakhouse and Layla MacArthur. So, you know, that would be a blockbuster of a Showtime female fight as well.
Yeah.
So finishing up with her, is that something that she's going to do? And like you mentioned, making that money and selling out the Spectrum out there in Oslo and bringing up these 140-pound fighters, you know, do you see her? Do you see Breakhouse even maybe moving up to 160? Is she big enough to compete in that weight class? I mean, to look for competition?
I think she's athletic enough, and I think when it comes to boxing, if you're very athletic, you could move up. Just like a Floyd Mayweather in the men, or a Oscar De La Hoya, you can move up if you're very athletic, and I see that in her. That's her thing, is her athleticism. And I wouldn't doubt she could move up and fight somebody in the middleweights, but I still see somebody like Layla, who's already done that, being the big obstacle in her way. Because Layla can fight anybody, any weight.
Getting back to Layla, you said she's ranked number one. So is that the way to go for Layla MacArthur? Forget about waiting for the Breakhouse team to make her an offer, but actually trying to pressure the sanctioning bodies and getting her the mandatory challenge?
I spoke to her this last Friday, and that's the plan. Exactly. Just let what you said. They want to maintain their ranking. They want to force her to fight her or give up the belt. And but they do. They'd rather she fight them. Layla wants to prove that she's the best pound for pound, and Cecilia is the one that is blocking her way. And that's an international extravaganza.
Yeah, and now that Layla MacArthur has signed on with Mayweather Promotions, what we announced at our last show, you know, it kind of gives a little bit of leverage. I'm not sure that Mayweather Promotions would be able to, I mean, they have the money, obviously being backed by Money Mayweather, to bring over Cecilia Breakhouse and make the fight as far as as lead promoter. But I don't know if it's viable, if it's a business-wise move to make that fight just with Mayweather Promotions money. But with Showtime involved and offering the stage for it, and obviously offering a licensing fee to put on the fight, then it starts making sense, you know? So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the fact with that Layla MacArthur signed on with Mayweather Promotions shows – that she has something backing her up. She has Mayweather Promotions backing her up, and it could be a step towards making that fight, which is something that would be big for the female boxing world in 2017. So we've reached the end of the fight results for the last couple of weeks, and then we move on to our female fight chatter, where we give you the latest happenings in the fight world. One thing that I didn't include in the script there, in the notes that I sent you, because it just came out today, is that Sanford Promotions, like I mentioned a little bit ago, Sanford, when they started promoting fights, they weren't huge in the female fight world. You know, they had pretty much Jackie Nava. And Jackie Nava actually was discovered and was actually developed by none other than Mr. Eric El Terrible Morales. He's the one that actually discovered her, and actually not discovered, but actually also helped another big-time Mexican fighter in Mariana Juarez. Obviously, we had Mariana Juarez, the Barbie Juarez, in our last show, and we heard a little bit of her story. She started boxing in Mexico City. It got to the point where she was fighting the same women three or four times because there wasn't a lot of female boxers. She made her way to Los Angeles, where she met Mr. David Avila and Ben Lira and a couple more people that helped her up here. She got some fights. She ended up fighting Elena Baby Doll Reed. And when she went back to Mexico, she actually lived and trained here in Tijuana, and she was training out of the Eric Morales gym, La Zona Norte gym, out here in Tijuana. And he helped her. Yeah, he helped her get on their TV and stuff like that. But getting back to Sanford, Sanford is the lead promoter, is the only exclusive promoter on the Mexican channel Azteca. I've explained it before, but I'll just give a quick rundown. There's two major Mexican networks here in Mexico that every Saturday night feature boxing, and a lot of those times they feature female boxing. One being Televisa, which is the biggest network, and then it's Azteca, which is the second biggest network. And Sanford Promotions out of here, out of Tijuana, led by Fernando Beltran, is the promoter for that channel as far as boxing is concerned. And Televisa, for a long time, would take offers from different promoters. We had HG Boxing some years ago, Hector Garcia Boxing. We had Boxeo de Gala some years ago. We had Pepe Gomez, Cancun Boxing some years ago. But now they have been working almost exclusively with a promotional company out of Ciudad Juarez, right across the border from El Paso, Texas, by the name of Promociones del Pueblo. So when Televisa really started going heavy on female boxing, featuring the likes of Mariana Barbie Juarez and Kika Chavez and Yvette La Roca Zamora and Esmeralda Moreno and Ana Maria Torres, then that's when Sanford kind of started picking up more women, you know, and they ended up signing Jocelyn Arroyo, who I mentioned lost her first professional fight. They signed Jasmine La Rosita Rivas. They signed Anabel Avispa Ortiz. They signed Ana Maria Torres' sister, Silvia Torres. They signed the flyweight champion, ex-flyweight champion, Araceli Munciño. They signed Zulema Urbina. And they actually announced today that they signed another hot prospect who I can't wait to see fight pro. Her name is, give me one second, Melissa Esquivel, 22 years of age. She had 202 amateur fights with only 8 losses. She was a 5-time Mexican national champion, and she participated in the world tournament in South Korea and Kazakhstan, and now she's going to be going pro in the featherweight division. So I can't wait to see this girl fight. She's only 22 years old. She just got signed. She's from the hotbed of Los Mochis, Sinaloa, Mexico. So, Sanford bringing on the female fights, And like Mariana Juarez shared with us last week, Televisa is going to get back in it. They got a huge fight with her sister, Lourdes, La Pequeña Lulu Juarez, in March. Actually, I don't think I included it here, but I'll share it with you right now. Mariana Juarez actually is fighting on April 1st in the Zocalo in Mexico City. Zocalo is like a big square right in the center of Mexico City. It's going to be a free event. And they're aggressively looking to make that fight against the WBC bantamweight champion Catherine Feedy. So that's the fight that they're looking to make for that event. And it's going to be a free event open to the Mexican City public. It's going to be packed. I mean, Mariana Juarez, she's from Mexico City, and she's a big name out there. So if it's free and it's in the Zocalo, it's going to be packed. So hopefully they get that done. So,
be 200,000 people there.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll keep you posted here on the two-minute round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world on the Leave It in the Ring Network. And just to remind you, if you guys want to give us a call and talk about some female boxing here, 347-215-7598, 347 215-7598 with my co-host David Avila and myself, Felipe Leon. And also, we thank you for pledging with us on Patreon.com and helping us get some funds for the network so we could put on this show and the other shows like The Next Round and Leave It in the Ring and the other shows that that David has been putting together. And actually, David Avila, before we go into the female fight chatter, I wanted to share with you and our listeners, and I don't know if you had the chance to listen, but David has a new show called Around the Ring where he gathers a panel. He's going to gather a panel of different personalities in boxing and discuss different topics. And this, the first edition of it came out this week on the Leave It in the Ring network, which obviously you can subscribe on your podcast app on your iPhone or Google Play on your Android. This week he had former middleweight champion Kelly Pavlik. He had boxing writer Ramon Aranda and ring announcer Lupe Contreras. And part of the discussion at the very end of the show was female boxing. And they had a really good discussion. They had a really good discussion. We heard the opinions of Lupe Contreras. Lupe Contreras is a big advocate of the 3-minute round. And he gave a really good reason of why they should go to a 3-minute round. Kelly Pavlik, mm-hmm. you know, he gave his opinion. And I really wanted to discuss one of the subjects with Elena Baby Doll Reed that they discussed on the show. But we'll table it for our next show scheduled for March 16th when hopefully Elena is back with us and we can talk all about this. But if you guys get a chance, and David, I urge you to look for the show and so you can hear that discussion. It's called Around the Ring. And on this, the first edition, it's Lupe Contreras, the ring announcer, former middleweight champion Kelly Pavlik, and boxing writer Ramon Aranda. So moving on to the female fight chatter, this past Tuesday in Mexico City, as part of the WBC Tuesday afternoon coffee that they have every Tuesday afternoon, a drawing was held to determine the semifinals for the WBC Diamond Title Flyweight Tournament, which we've been talking about for the last 6 months. And the seeding is as follows. Jessica La Kika Chavez, the current WBC flyweight champion, is going to be facing the WBC silver flyweight champion, Ana La Bronca Arrazola. And the current WBC light flyweight champion, Yvette La Roca Zamora, is going to be facing former flyweight champion Esmeralda La Joya Moreno. So that is the seeding, the semifinals, which the tournament is going to get back on April 22nd. Kika Chavez, in her first fight of the tournament, beat Naoko Fujioka, where Ana Arrazola defeated, in a little bit of an upset, Raja Amache out there in Austria, and won the silver WBC flyweight title. Previous to that, Ana Arrazola held the WBC light flyweight silver title. And then La Roca Zamora beat, I forgot the young lady's name, but she was undefeated. She had like 7 or 8 fights. She beat her back in October or November of last year. And then Esmeralda La Joya Moreno defeated, I forgot who she defeated. I'll look it up right now. But what do you think about that matchup, David, those two fights that are going to be in the semifinals?
Oh, they're great matchups. I mean, any of those girls against each other, you know, it doesn't even matter. They're all very good. They're all fights that, if you like female boxing, those are all good matchups. You could twist and turn it any way you like.
Actually, Esmeralda Moreno, I can't believe I forgot this fight, but Esmeralda Moreno beat Melissa McMorrow in the first phase of the tournament to get to the semifinals, and La Roca Zamora beat Nina Snarjanovic in the first round of the tournament to make it to the semifinals. Is that the first time that these two fighters face each other in fights? Chavez and Arrazola fought to a draw in the past. It was early in Chavez's career. It was only her second fight, and it was a 4-round draw, while Zamora owns 2 wins over Moreno back in 2007 and in 2015. The last one where La Roca Zamora defended her WBC 108-pound title against Esmeralda Moreno. But since that fight, Esmeralda Moreno has she's won some good fights. She's, you know, since 2015, since that loss to La Roca Zamora, Esmeralda Moreno has beaten Yesenia Martinez Castrejón, who is a tough fighter. She went 8 rounds with Ava Knight some time ago. She went over to Austria last year in April and beat Eva Wurlberger, a fight that we was that the upset of our of last year for our 2 minute round awards? Yeah, that was it.
Yes.
Then she lost in a very close, controversial majority decision loss to Jessica Chavez. And then she completely dominated Melissa McMorrow, who is a tough fighter, in her last fight. So I don't think she's the same fighter that La Roca Zamora beat back in 2015. And if they're going to be fighting at flyweight, I believe La Joya Moreno has the advantage there, David. What do you think?
Yeah, she seems to be stronger, much stronger than she was at 108. I don't know what it is or what she's eating, but she's a much stronger fighter. I think the only reason Kika Chavez was able to beat her is that she just outboxed her and then didn't allow her to use that strength against her.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that this is I think Kika Chavez is going to have her way with Ana Arrasola. Ana Arrasola is a good fighter, a tough fighter, but technically she's not all that great. Kika Chavez is just a hurricane inside the ring. She's going to throw a lot of punches. So I think that's going to be an easier – it's going to be an easier fight for Kika Chavez to win. But I think that Roca Zamora and that Joya Moreno fight is going to be a barn burner. It has fight of the year written all over it.
Oh, very true. Very true.
Moving on, WBC and WBO middleweight champion Christina Hammer, who's 20-0 with 9 knockouts, is set to come back home to Germany and defend her titles against a familiar foe. She'll be facing 39-year-old Maria Lindberg, who's 15-1, 2 draws, 8 knockouts of Sweden. This Lindberg has faced Hammer before in 2011, unsuccessfully, when she tried to take away Hammer's WBO and WBF titles. Now Hammer is the owner of the WBC title, who she beat Callie Reese for in her last fight, I believe it was. That match ended in a unanimous decision where Hammer beat Lindberg back in 2011. The bout is to take place on April 1st. So April 1st, two pretty good fights already on the docket between Christina Hammer and Maria Lindberg. And then if they do make that fight between Mariana Lavarri Juarez and Catherine Fitti for the WBC Bantamweight title, obviously we'll give you the news here on the two-minute round. And lastly, on the female fight chatter on March 25th at the University of D.C. Sports Complex in Washington, D.C., Franchon Cruz, the opponent of Clarissa Shields in the debut, a good amateur on her own right of Baltimore, Maryland, will be having her second pro bout. She opened up hard and fast in her pro debut when she fought two-time Olympic gold medal winner Clarissa Shields. The bout she'll be facing. They don't have an appointment for Franchon Cruz yet on March 25th, but it's good to see that she is going to continue on with her career, and I'm sure it's going to be a successful one. You just can't get started and you know, she gave a good effort. She gave a great effort against Clarissa Shields, but Clarissa Shields, you know, even at 1-0, might be considered one of the best top three, if not top three, middleweights right now in the world, in the female fight world.
Absolutely.
All righty. So that brings us to the end of the female fight chatter. Anything that you might want to share, David, as far as the fight chatter?
Yeah, I'm interested in one of the fights that Steven Espinoza mentioned. Heather Hardy is fighting Adina Kitts at the Barclays on Saturday. And it's too bad they weren't able to televise it, but it was a fight I wanted to see. I thought Heather gave an exemplary performance when she fought last August against Shelley Vincent. And, man, I was just saddened that they weren't able to show it, but I understand it's not a Showtime fight card. It's a CBS. And those are him and fighters.
Yeah, and I wish to a certain extent, I mean, I appreciate the fact that it's going to be on CBS and the main event between Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia is somewhat of a, I'm not going to say historic, but a big fight. I mean, we haven't seen two welterweights face each other, two undefeated welterweight champions face each other since 1999 with Oscar La Hoya and Tito Trinidad did. and it's a good thing that it's being featured on CBS, but I wish it was on Showtime, because at least on Showtime Extreme, I'm sure they would have featured that Heather Hardy fight.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's too bad for Heather. I know she was very disappointed by the fact that her fight wasn't being televised.
Now, I wonder if they're going to show it on CBS Sports Network, you know, the sister sports network of CBS. Could that be a possibility?
Well, so far, I've spoken to their camp. They didn't mention anything like that, so I'm just thinking that it's not. But, you know, hopefully some kind of streaming will be available, hopefully.
Yeah, me too. I hope so, because I do want to see that fight, and I want to see Heather Hardy. Now, Heather Hardy was scheduled to make her MMA debut, I believe, in January, but her opponent ended up getting hurt, and that fight was scratched, and now she is coming back to the boxing world. She mentioned it from the get-go that she wasn't leaving boxing, but because of that new law that was going on in New York City with the whole insurance thing, that is very hard to put on the club level type of shows that Lou DiBella has been very successful with, and with Heather Hardy being successful selling tickets, and you know, she's a mother of a child, and she needs to make money, so she was going to jump to the MMA to make a little bit of money while a big Barclays Center type of show came around where she could sell tickets, but also there was enough of a budget to be able to pay for this insurance policy. And now she's here. She's back in boxing, and she'll be fighting on Saturday, and we're going to touch on it in the calendar.
Yeah, that's the fight I'm looking forward to.
All righty. So let's move on to the upcoming calendar here on the 2-Minute Round, your Hooks and Jazz look at the female fight world on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Starting on – and there is actually a pretty good size calendar, not like the last couple weeks, where we had a fight here and there. Now we got a pretty good amount of fights, and we'll give you all the results on our next show scheduled for March 16th, where hopefully we have our third co-host, the heart and soul of the 2-Minute Round, Elena Baby Doll Reed. Friday, March 3rd, from Victoria, Australia. Listen to this. David Susie Ramadan will be coming back, and she's facing, and I'm going to give it a crack here, Rungnapa Qukrakchan. Rungnapa Qukrakchan in a 6-rounder, and according to BoxRec, is scheduled for 6 3-minute rounds in the bantamweight division. So this fight is happening. I saw on social media today a picture of Susie Ramadan at the weigh-in looking cut, David. Cut. Look for the picture. She's looking cut, and it's happening, because I think we had announced that she was coming back, and the fight actually didn't come through, but now she is coming back in Australia against this Rungnapa Qukrakchan.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's doing it at 118, because she was fighting at 122 for a while, and I thought maybe she was going to stay at 122. But 118, wow, I got to give it to her.
Yeah, she's a player. Hopefully she comes back, and then she could stay busy, because she could be a player as either 118 and 122, you know, and that's
absolutely
a fighter that – she's a world-class fighter, so that's a fighter that we would love to see in either one of those in either one of those divisions.
Absolutely. She's very good.
Then we go on to Saturday, March 4th, which is a bulk of the schedule for this next couple weeks. From Baden-Württemberg, Germany, Nina Menke will be facing Hasna Tukic in a 10-rounder for the WBC Youth Super Featherweight title, while from Mexico City, Mexico, Sanford Promotions on the Azteca channel gives us Jasmine La Rosita Rivas versus Nazli Maldonado in a 10-rounder at bantamweight, as is being reported on BoxRec. So it looks like Jasmine Rivas is coming back to her natural weight class of 118 pounds after moving up in January, and challenging Amanda Serrano. Maybe she came to her senses at 122, realized that that weight class is a little bit too big for her and needs to come back to 118, but she is coming back. She just fought about, you know, less than 2 months ago, and now she's back in the ring, David.
Yeah. Well, she's one of those girls that likes to fight. She doesn't mind.
Yeah. And she's fighting Nazli Maldonado. You know, she's being announced by Sanford that she's 9-4, but on BoxRec she's 5-5. So you take what you want from there. And in Guadalajara, Mexico, it's not gonna be televised, but I'm looking forward to maybe catching a stream of this. The IBF light flyweight champion, Japanese Naoko Shibata, will be defending her title against Mexican Alondra Garcia in a 10-rounder in Guadalajara, Mexico. You know, props to, I think his name is Ricardo Garcia, who is the brother of Hector Garcia, who is now the promoter on record, bringing this fight to Guadalajara without any television, any major television. I'm not sure if it's being televised locally there in Guadalajara, but it's not being televised nationally in Mexico, so that is pretty good. From the O2 Arena in London, England, Matchroom Boxing gives us her third pro fight. Katie Taylor, mentioned by Steven Espinosa some minutes ago, she's going to be facing Monica Gentile, very experienced. I think she's like 6-6 versus 2-0 Taylor in a 6-rounder at 135 pounds. And from the Barclays Center, the fight that David has been mentioning, Brooklyn, New York, Heather Hardy will be facing Edina Kiss in a 10-rounder. She'll be defending her WBC International Featherweight title. Does it surprise you, David, that she's coming in at featherweight when she has mentioned that she is a super bantamweight?
Yes, it did surprise me. I thought she was going to say 122, but maybe maybe it means less on her body. I just don't know. I'd like to ask her why 126 also.
Maybe we could have her soon. We've had her before. Maybe we could have her after this fight and talk about it.
Yes.
And see what's coming up for her in 2017. On Friday, March 10th, from the MGM Grand in Detroit, Michigan, on Showtime, part of the main event of Showbox, Miss Clarissa Shields, 1-0, two-time Olympic gold medalist, will be fighting for the vacant NABF middleweight title against Silvia Cevados. Now, BoxRec is announcing this as a 6-rounder. I wish we would have had, I would have remembered and asked Mr. Steven Espinosa if it is a 6-rounder, which is kind of strange for it to be only
for
a 6-rounder when it's a title. I mean, I know that NABF, they do allow, it's a junior title. You know, it's not a full-fledged world title, of course. It's a North American Boxing Federation title, and I do know that they fight in 8-rounders for that title, but I'm surprised that it's a 6-rounder. So we'll see what they actually announce on fight night. But on BoxRec, it's being shown as a 6-rounder. On the same night, on March 10th, from Tijuana, Mexico, the Grand Hotel, we have Kenya Enriquez, former WBO flyweight champion, coming back after a little bit of a hiatus. She has not fought since last August, and she'll be facing Lupita Martinez in a 6-rounder at light flyweight, while Brenda La Bonita Flores, a local fighter here from Tijuana, will be facing a fighter to be determined March 10th here in Tijuana. On Saturday, March 11th in Germany, Nikki Adler will be facing Mary Rancier in a 10-rounder for the vacant WIBF and vacant GBU super middleweight title. While from downtown Las Vegas Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, on a Roy Jones Jr. Promotions card, Marina Ramirez, Rocky Ramirez, they call her, is coming back from her first pro loss to face Judith Pereira of Canada in a 4-rounder at 108 pounds. On Monday, March 13th, from the Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan, Mexican Isabel La Estrella Millan will be traveling to Japan to face Naoko Fujioka, considered the best Japanese fighter, female fighter of all time, for the vacant WBA flyweight title. While that's Wednesday, March 15th, from the same hall in Tokyo, Japan, Saemi Hanagata will face Aisa Aliko in an 8-rounder at 105 pounds, but more importantly, 8 more all-female bouts are scheduled for that fight card, David. So we got March 13th, which is a Monday, with Isabel Millan against Naoko Fujioka for the vacant WBA flyweight title. 2 days later, 9 female fights in Tokyo, Japan. Tokyo, I love you. I want to go.
Yeah, we have a reporter from the PrizeFighters.com who will be attending that fight card, and she'll be reporting on that fight for the prizefighters.com when she returns.
She's gonna be there, and she's gonna report on those two fights.
Yeah, she is gonna do a story for us.
Great. I wanna hear the nitty gritty of that fight. I don't know. That's a tough fight. Isabel Millan. She's a tall, lanky fighter. Very good use of her jab. Doesn't seem to have a lot of crack on her punches. Young. But not, well, younger, but not, you know, I think she's in her 30s, but she has a tall order. She's done it before. She went to France and beat the local fighter for the WBF flyweight title, but she has a tall order to fill going to Japan and fighting a tough, tough fighter. I mean, you know, practically considered the best female Japanese fighter of all time, Naoko Fujioka. So that's a tough fight.
Oh, yeah, Fujioka is no joke. She's very, very good. And if you fight her head on, well, that's her game.
Yeah, Miyan, I've seen her fight. She's a boxer. She uses her jab very well. She relies on it, which I like. I like when fighters rely on the jab. It shows them that they're educated in boxing. But I don't know if she's going to have enough to keep Fujioka off her. So we're going to have to see that. So like I mentioned before, our next show is scheduled for March 16th, which we're going to go over all these fights that we mentioned in the upcoming fight schedule, and we'll be talking about it. Obviously, we'll be able to catch streams of the Katie Taylor fight. Hopefully, we could catch a stream of the Heather Hardy fight. Maybe, if we're lucky, we could catch a stream of the Isabel Millan against Naoko Fujioka fight. If not, we'll be able to read the report from our colleague there at the prizefighters.com. Maybe we'll catch a stream of the Nikki Adler fight. We're going to watch Jasmine Rivas on Azteca channel. What else? Susie Ramadan. If we're lucky, maybe we'll catch it. But there's all these fights, great fights. I mean, we got some great fights coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be in the house for that Kenny Enriquez fight. So we'll be able to talk about that, how she looks, and hopefully a run for another world title. And we'll go from there. Any last thoughts, David?
No, but there sure is a lot of action. But maybe we'd have one of those fighters as a guest next week, maybe Heather Hardy or Clarissa Shields the next time we appear.
There you go, David. That's a good goal for the next show, March 16th. So from everybody here on the 2-Minute Round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world, and on the Leave It in the Ring Network, thank you for pledging with us on Patreon.com. We give you a hearty good night.
Good night.